This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I just want to pray before the word comes. And we've just sung about how great our God is. And just before you all, I just want to honour Jeremiah. This is a real man of faith. This is someone who has really stood the test of time and circumstance and situations, ups and downs, and yet continues so strongly in his faith and in blessing others through his gift and through his ministry. So this is somebody that I am really confident in, and Susan, of course, and Jeremy, the family, really confident in. And more than happy to stand with him and say, you can trust whatever is going to come from this man. Not to put too big a heavy on you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. We thank you, Lord, that throughout this whole world, there are such fine men, women, young and old, who just love and serve you, who are called by your name, who respond, who pick up their cross and follow you. And Lord, we thank you for the example that Jeremiah and Susan and the family have set before so many people, and that their witness has been so strong, a great testimony, and yet remain such humble people of heart. And we just love that spirit, Lord, and we love this man and his wife, and we love his ministry, and we love all that you're doing in him. We look forward to your word. Father, let it be so anointed. Even any part that Jeremiah might feel to keep his hand on, just take it off, Lord, and let the Spirit just touch him and bless him and flow through him like never before. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Bless you.
Is this thing on? Okay, thank you. What an honor to be with you this morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Bruce, for standing up here and praying for me. This is just to make sure that the Lord is going to speak and not me. Hallelujah. I like this man. I like this couple. He's got a good sense of humor, hasn't he? Yes, we hit it off and he was in the early days a great organizer, great administrator when he was organizing MFI conferences for year in, year out. And I just watch this man and just admire him for how he moves and how he pushes on to serve the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. How are you guys? Are you well? You can't say any other way, do you? Can you? It's only a monologue here. Hallelujah. Well, he has been thinking about you guys a bit. And I'm glad to hear a little bit from Bruce that, you know, in the months gone by, things are moving good. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I like this morning to just share something that you probably already know. But knowing something is one thing, and having it experienced in realities, in the face of challenges that we have, I've got no doubt whatsoever that this morning, different ones of us would have been going through different things. And the idea is, the Lord is still in control. He is still the Lord. I like those songs that you sang. I don't really know them. It's strange enough. I'm not very familiar with those songs. But they were written by Reuben Morgan and all these people. I don't know why I missed them. Anyway, doesn't matter. But the words ministered very well to us, to me anyway. I'm just glad. I'm going to turn to two passages of scriptures that you will probably be very familiar. One is Matthew chapter 3. It's the scripture regarding the baptism of Jesus. I came with this and then I was glad to hear that come December you're going to have some baptism coming up. And that will be great. And Matthew chapter 3 verse 15, 16. And 17, actually three verses there. Matthew 3, verse 15. Jesus replied, "Let it be so now." This is the dialogue between John the Baptist and him. He wanted to be baptized. John the Baptist says, "No, I should be baptized by you." Jesus said, "No, just obey." Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom, this is the Son whom I love." I was about to, it was the old King James, they said the other way. "This is my beloved, this is my Son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." An equivalent verse to verse 17 is found in Matthew chapter 17 at the Mount of Transfiguration. So can you please turn with me to Matthew chapter 17? And here Jesus took James and John to a high mountain, and then there he was transfigured in verse 2. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Listen to him." There are only 4 points to these two passages of scriptures that I'm going to bring out. But the thing is not just those 4 points. It is what that accompany, the things that accompany, the environment, the atmosphere that accompany the 4 things that I'm going to say. In the first part of it, Matthew chapter 3, heaven opened and Holy Spirit landed upon Jesus, and then the voice came. In a second situation here at the Mount of Transfiguration, there was the sense of the glory as the sun and the clothes white as light. And in that environment, there was also a bright cloud that enveloped them, and then the voice spoke. I don't know how to figure this out properly here in our earthly dimension here, but we have just got to have some kind of trust and begin with some points of reference from the scripture here that, you know, when God said what he said, it's not just the word, it is along with. It's just like Genesis chapter 1. The word was spoken, yes, but it was along with the truth or the fact that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the whole universe. And that, to me, is something that I've got to teach myself to be very aware of, because we are very aware of what our feelings say to us. We are very aware of what our 5 senses say to us. But we are Christians. And so it is like what Bruce was saying, that we've got to put Christ back to Christmas. It's about letting people and let ourselves be aware that beyond just the whatever that's happening in Eastland or Southland or Westfield or whatever, you can go north, south, east, and west. But we've got to have some longing, some sense of identifying that we are actually living in a different atmosphere. We are in a different environment. We may not feel it, but at least our mind has to keep reminding us that, and hopefully something gets formed in us. Here we have a situation that was definitely the speaking voice of God, but it was in an atmosphere. And what I'm trying to bring ourselves to is that he's going to speak to us about 4 things. And beyond the four things, he could be speaking to us many other things. This morning, somebody had a prophetic word, and that was the speaking voice of God. And we can just take it as ear, a hearing by the ear, or we reflect a little bit. I think what helps us a bit more is not just what we hear. It's about hearing enough that something is formed. And so this is the way it is. You know, we were hearing this morning around the communion table, a brother, Nigel, was it? Was talking about love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind. And it's repeated many times. He quoted Deuteronomy. I'm not quite sure which part of Deuteronomy, but definitely in Deuteronomy chapter 6, before the instruction was for the parents to speak and teach the children, you know, the laws of God when they're walking, when they're seated, and when they're in bed and so on. The first declaration was the Lord your God is one God, and after that, along the way, in the same chapter, love the Lord your God. We are in a culture of hearing and hearing the Word of God, which is the way the Lord wants it to be. But the thing to move forward is to have something that we have heard to be formed in us. I read from somebody who is, he's quite a notable person as a theologian, and if you need a name, his name is Thomas Groom. A long time ago, his book was written in 1991, and he said that, you know what, we need to focus on our sense of being, especially in this world when we are more focused on our doing. And to have this sense of being, he introduced three words: information, formation, transformation. And I thought that was quite easy for me to figure out, or for me to catch on. It's three words. And information is what we have been hearing. We hear lots of sermons. We get lots of information. But the next thing is having things formed in us. And I believe that this speaks about the substance of things. The definition of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, is faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Really, he says, if you don't have things formed in you, you don't see a lot of changes, no transformation. And really, if the Christians don't have a lot formed in them, we want to change society, we want to transform the world. It's just slogans that we shout, and it's just cliches that we say, that we speak. And so he is quite adamant that we need to involve many things around us in order that we move from information to formation. And this morning I'm bringing that in because I see this happening in Matthew chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 11. It's not just only the word, it is the word with. And it was so in Genesis chapter 1. It was the word with the presence of the Holy Spirit that caused the creation of everything that God spoke, and they came into being. Our being is established with the Word of God, but in the environment that God has created for us. And this is something that I like us to have understanding or have some idea about, that living, having a sense of or knowing the Word of God must always bring us into a sense of His presence, the sense of His atmosphere. Of course, we can see that it was very dramatic in both Matthew chapter 3 and chapter 17. Our life usually is not that dramatic. We don't suddenly see heaven open. We don't see a dove landing on us. We don't see a cloud, a bright cloud of glory. But I guess some parts of it, it has to be our faith to believe what the Word of God has declared. And it is about training our hearts and our minds to shift that hearing into a formation. The word that is helpful to me in the way that this guy has written is that, you know, much of, not only him saying it, Psalm chapter 1 says so, you know, about meditation, and it's about reflecting. How, and you guys are quite good, you're better than Aussies in the Western culture are more reflective than fast-paced cultures in other nations and other continents. They just run, traffic jams, catch the bus, catch the train, catch the this and that. And you have a culture of reading. Years ago, people used to read in trams and train. Nowadays, people do something else. You know, they use the phone and they keep swiping and pushing and pressing buttons. Not as much reading that I can see today compared to many years ago. But I'm speaking to many of you who are probably still understanding what I'm saying regarding the culture of reading and reflecting. And I guess there's no shortcut because that's the way the Word of God says so. Joshua, meditate. Psalm chapter 1, meditate. And here I'm talking about reflecting. I'm talking about wanting to move from knowledge, cognition, into a formation so that you can have the reality of transformation. And if we would put our action, couple it with reflection, and couple it with action again, we have a better chance of having something formed in us. If we just hear, which we have been accustomed to in the culture of church and in the culture of preaching, we just heard and probably nothing much happened. And then you wonder why we are still having the same problems, we are still not changed, and people are still complaining against us and having feeling that, you know, you're offended with people, people are offended with you, and so on. And much of church life, sometimes it could be due to doctrinal differences. People move from church to church, but many times maybe not doctrinal, not theological, it's emotional. And what is it that is causing all these issues? It is because the Word of God is still to be formed in realities of even to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and mind, and to love your neighbor. If this is really gloriously, wonderfully done, the world would have been saved already by now. But we know that society is wanting still to see something that God can impact them. And the pressure of the world and the voices of the world and their messages are actually sometimes louder than the gospel in many, many continents. And so the voice of the church is rising. I can see we have different organizations working very hard at it. And we are seeing that even politicians, you know, we have a prime minister now who is not ashamed of being a Christian. That's pretty cool, eh? One of the most significant, I believe, witnesses, you know, in the nation. I don't see too many around the world, honestly, and we are just very pleased with that in Australia. But the point is, it's not just one or two; it's about us, isn't it, as a community of God. Well, my main point here is understand this. It's about trying to create an atmosphere for us ourselves. And that atmosphere is like what the Bible described, that should include the presence of the Lord. And in the presence of the Lord, there's Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 3, He descended upon Jesus. But Matthew chapter 17, there's a sense of His presence in terms of His glory, His light. And we don't see that with our naked eyes. But I like to encourage us to actually have some imagination of it. How can you imagine? Well, you just think about yourself. Or you just think about the people you look around. Sometimes when they just come in, they just come into church and join our church, and maybe they are not really, you know, having a very good time out there, and they are seeking for something. Life can hand out to people hardships that even make our countenance look hard. You understand what I'm saying? There's hardness on our face. Then you look at one another. There's a smile on your face. There's a softness about your face. And there's something radiating about you. We may not see light, but we can see glory. We can see a countenance that is reflecting on something that is inside because of the presence of Jesus in our lives. And the more we would do that, the more we will be radiating perhaps. You know, it makes a lot of difference when we would capitalize on these things and begin to see and cultivate a sense, a greater sense of the presence of God. Might not see the light in terms of its natural form, but light can be on your face. We can tell the difference between a face that is lit up or a face that is dark. Yeah? Dark due to heaviness and so on. And so I'm talking about the word that accompanies. This is a new dimension that I'm dealing with, Matthew 3 and Matthew 17. I've never preached this before until I saw it last night. And I thought, I think the Lord wants to encourage this group of people that there is glory in your life. There is glory in your face. And your glory is set for you as an environment, as a spiritual atmosphere for the working of God's word. How many say amen to that? You can therefore look forward to, as you would implement that by way of meditation, reflection, thinking about and creating imaginations, creating, remembering, all these things that we are important words, remembering and imagining, all these words are part and parcel of meditation. And when we would bring all these things together, we will be prosperous. That's what the Bible says. We will be strong and very courageous. That's what the Bible says. Well, one is Joshua and one is Psalm 1. And we will experience healing. We will experience health. And we will experience peace and shalom. If we don't do that, then life has a way to render to us pain and bitterness and resentments and so on that will bring us down and diminish our light. And then the word of God somehow dissipates too. It's a strange thing. But then if we couple them together, we'll expect new beginnings. Because in this particular scripture in Matthew chapter 3 was the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. In fact, that beginning was so important that when he moved out from there, the devil was defeated. Because Matthew 4 followed the baptism. And how do you defeat the devil? I think our entry point is important. Our entry level. You see, life is like this. It depends on your entry level. If you want to be successful in life, your entry level should be higher. If your entry level in life is very low, your rewards will be very low. Don't you think so? I mean, it's just like education. If you have higher education, you will probably have a higher entry point. If you are skilled, you've been to TAFE, you've been to a college and been trained as an apprentice in electrician or a plumber, you know that your entry point is higher than somebody who have never been there. Are you following me? And so I'm not just talking about academic. I mean, it's as good as any profession, really. So there's no discrimination about profession. It's about a principle. The principle of how you want to win over the devil depends on what level of entry point that we are entering life with. Jesus' entry point was an environment with the Word of God. That was the same entry point like the Father who created the whole universe. An environment that he created and a voice that he spoke. And then the earth were formed, animals were formed, trees were formed, human beings were formed. And we want to have a victorious life because Matthew chapter 17, don't forget, following that is the same chapter. It says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can move the mountain. How do you do that? On the other hand, Matthew chapter 3 was after the episode of the presence of the Lord, the open heaven, the Holy Spirit and voice. Matthew chapter 3, after that time was Matthew 4, defeating the devil. I think the Lord wants the church to be victorious. Somebody say amen. He really wants us to be victorious. And I'm concerned about wanting us to be victorious here in Mount Bok. Hallelujah. I want us to see something, hopefully, that, hey, it's possible. This is the way God wants it for us to establish ourselves. Because everybody is accustomed to attending church. Everybody is accustomed to hearing messages. But I want to move from here, move from just hearing and getting the messages as information to the place of formation. And then as I'm being formed in my formation, when I have some substance in me, I have faith to defeat the evil one. I have faith to transform, to be another person that could be of some use to Jesus. Amen. And so this Christmas could be a wonderful time. I think your 22nd of December will be a great time where your form, whatever that you formed inside you, gives you courage to go forward and invite friends to come on in and have a RSVP by faith that I'm going to bring in another 3 people, you know, even though you haven't seen them yet. But something is formed in your faith to believe that we can do that. And how do you know? When you bring them in with a message that Bruce is going to preach, I'm not sure if he's preaching or not. But now I'm putting on him that he will share something. And you don't know how far, you know, it could be 5 minutes or 10 minutes. It could be something that people will be just hearing it at the right time, at the right place. And they might be added into the kingdom of God. And then they will be discipled in the church by you. And all these things are things that are dealing with faith. It needed, Jesus had the faith to defeat the devil by whatever information that he had. But that episode of the baptism formed something in him that released him. Our baptism, actually in Romans chapter 6, is supposed to rise up to walk in newness of life, just like Jesus, because it's got everything to do with the life of Jesus Christ, his resurrection. That's substance. And Matthew chapter 17, there was substance that was formed for Jesus to demonstrate to them. Because first of all, you must remember, when you read chapter 17, you know that after this, there was a man who brought his son to Jesus and said, Your disciples couldn't deliver. These guys just didn't have it. My son had been demonized, thrown into the water, thrown into the fire, and I asked them to deliver my son from demons, but they couldn't do it. Can you do it? And Jesus did it, just like that. I believe Jesus had some substance, amen? Jesus is fully man. And he says, the things that I do, you do also. Do we really believe it? I think I want to believe it. I'm going to say amen. I think we all do. I'm sure all of you would like to see signs and wonders and miracles and power operating, but we know very well there's an environment that is not making it easy for Christians to deliver that too. So we could be in a wrong environment, hoping for the right thing. I'm talking about an environment now to facilitate the right thing. The right environment, as I saw it in Matthew chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 17, has everything to do with training a consciousness of the presence of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is something that we all know, but it is a journey that we must all take. It is a journey of knowing that is defined only by 3 simple words: information, formation, and transformation. And I'm just hoping to just pull it down a little bit, down to earth a little bit, and say that this is what I'm going for. I can remember 3 words. I don't forget what Jeremiah says, but he said 3 words. It's not his own anyway. He copied from somebody else, and he quoted a name. Information, formation, and transformation. Without these 2, transformation can't happen. And this is not only transformation of the world or society, our own transformation, the transformation of our own state, We could have come to church this morning with a burden state, or with a state of emotional this and that and everything else. And many things are probably in our minds, and our minds are loaded with many things along the way. But then again, it is still having to make sure that we make our shifts. 1 degree shift. Actually, by 1 degree shift, you can change the course in the long run. Our 1 degree shift starts with 3 words this morning: information, formation, and transformation. And what is it centering upon? It is centering upon the Word of God, which we will not deviate from, but plus a sense, a consciousness of the atmosphere and the environment that will facilitate the Word to be formed as faith, as substance of faith in us. And so after the casting out the demons and setting this young boy free, then Jesus taught. And he said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain. So on both occasions, we saw victory. And now let's just wrap up this message with the 4 things that I promised you. I told you the process a bit more, because the 4 things are things that you know. But the first part is actually quite important. So I'm dealing with the important part first, which I've just done. And the second part is from the voice that spoke. It is, this is my son. Important for us to understand is that only the Father can confer identity to the Son. It is not even just the sense of reading the Bible and knowing that you are a son of God, you're a daughter of God, is fine. You're hearing a preacher is fine. But hearing, having a sense of the Lord saying to you, you are my son, I think that will make a lot of difference. I value the prophetic, and we value the prophetic because we are a church that believe in it. And sometimes the prophetic will have the capacity to say things that quicken us, bring life to us. And I remember many years ago there was a man that came in, and that must have been his first time to church. And he asked the Lord, what is Jeremiah about? And he felt the Lord told him this, that Jeremiah is my son. Then he said that to me when he was preaching. God says to me, this is how the Lord look at you. That did a world to me. How many understand what I'm saying? I mean, didn't I know that? Well, a word that is somehow quickened. And I hope this morning something is quickened in you. Not so much as I'm saying you are my son or you're my daughter. You might have heard that before. But I want you to hear this. If you know that God is your Heavenly Father, He's the only one, qualified one, able one, to call you son and daughter. So if you know that God is your Heavenly Father, your sonship, your daughterhood is secure. Amen? So, and I believe that this is quite easy for us to grasp, because most of us, when we come to Christ, we know God as Father now. We already know. But you must know one more thing. When He is your Father, He is the only one who can confer to you your sonship and your daughterhood in a way that nothing in this world can shake. Amen? And so, stand secure. The second word is security. This is my son whom I love. This word security, this word love, why do I say security? Because it is secured by covenant. In the understanding of the relationship between God and man, Old Testament, New Testament, both are undergirded by this term or by this thing called covenant. In the Old Covenant, the word love or loyal love is taught to us in the Hebrew word called hased or hesed. I don't know how to pronounce the Hebrew word. And the transliteration is H-E-S-E-D. Sometimes it's H-A-S-E-D, so I'm not quite sure. But doesn't matter. That hased or hesed is loyal love. It's translated, like for example, in the King James, faithfulness, loving kindness, loyalty. And this concept is the concept that gives you a result, such as if you touch me, you touch him, you touch the apple of my eye. How about that? You remember that? If we are being touched by the devil, he doesn't know what trouble he's going to get into because he is touching the Father's eye. Yeah? We had communion this morning, New Testament now. The New Testament equivalent of hased is sacrificial love. We call it agape. As I was studying these two concepts, you see, agape caused Jesus Christ to become the sacrifice. In Hebrews, Jesus is described as the better sacrifice because the new covenant is a better covenant and it bears better promises. So in some ways, the New Testament concept of love in agape is higher than the Old Covenant concept of love in hased or hesed. Well, by the end of the day, the Old Covenant is already obsolete. And a New Covenant kicks in, and a New Covenant is the covenant that we have today through Jesus Christ, my covenant brother. And he had bled the blood, shed the blood, and caused us to be in covenant relationship with the Father, and he is our covenant big brother. Many years ago, when I was a young fellow growing up, in a part of town in Kuala Lumpur where it's quite rough. They have triads and they have gangs and so on. And I had seen people being chopped, blood everywhere, running along the 5-foot way in front of the shops. I've seen those things, and I've seen another situation where a lady was also somehow hurt and she was bloody and bleeding and so on and ushered into a taxi, a yellow cab, you know. And for a long time in my childhood, I wouldn't want to take a taxi because I always somehow link taxi to blood and those things. I had that fear. Of course, I'm delivered from it now. And now it's not because of the blood or the fear. Taxi is just too expensive, that's all. Especially in Australia. It's all right in Asia, you know. But anyway, what had happened under the New Covenant was... It was something that, or rather, to help me understand what Jesus did, was the understanding that these triads, they have this kind of thing called covenant blood brothers, blood brotherhood. Maybe you also understand that even in the Western society, there are such things in some secret societies, okay? And so what happened was they have agreed to become brothers in the triad or in the gang. And if they hurt you, they hurt me. And if anything happens to you, we will come for you. We will come for the guy who will take revenge for you. Or if anything happens to you, we will be there for you. That kind of relationship. And what they did is they will pray to a certain idol. But they will cut somewhere, you know, and then drip the blood into a cup, pour some wine into it. Isn't it interesting? You have wine and you have blood, okay. They did that too. And then mix it, everyone drinks it. They partook of a cup. Okay? They also partook of the blood. And then by so partaking, they make an oath. All these are like our covenantal understanding. But we must have something to explain it to make us understand it more. Understanding it more to me makes the communion cup a little bit more meaningful. I realized that, well, my big brother, Jesus, is my covenant blood brother. He's big, hallelujah. He is bigger than any other blood brother. And he is more powerful. We sang about it, God, my God is powerful, my God is strong, and so on. Well, he really is. And not only a distant God who is powerful, not only a distant God who is strong, he is my blood brother. And he's here. He's inside. I think he has the same concept of his father. That's why he was so powerful, even though he was fully man. Praise the Lord. Identity is conveyed by the Father. Security is anchored by covenant. The third word is affirmation. This is my son, whom I love. With him, I'm well pleased. We can't, in our human level, can't affirm everything about somebody else because we can't see. How can you affirm when you see that, you know, these things are not right? Whatever that this person is doing is wrong. How can you affirm that? Yeah. But I still think that that's the principle. Where we can, we should affirm. Because that's the way the Lord did it. And, of course, Jesus lived a life in obedience to the Father. And so there was no real issue. And he was never competing with the Father. Neither was he in the honoring to the Father. He set his mind on bringing glory to the Father. Full stop. So when he had finished and did what he did, or going to do what he's going to complete in John chapter 17, for example, the two significant prayer to me, one is the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. John chapter 17 is the prayer at the end of his life. One is at the beginning, one is at the end. And at the end, he said, I've glorified you. Now, Father, you glorify me. Huh. Asking the Father to glorify him. Wow. Well, he knows where he was going. He knows that where he's going is entering into the glory of the Father. Amen. And we should know that too. We should know that too. But in the meantime, let our face shine a bit of glory. Yeah, it makes life more tolerable. It's not always that easy because we have our moods and we can be pensive, we can be reflective and so on. And when you're in that mode, your face don't shine a lot of glory. And there's not a lot of smiles on that face. But nevertheless, it is still intentional, something that we have to apply ourselves with intentionality. With whom I'm well pleased, that's affirmed. Affirmation. Affirmation is something that somehow we need that as earthlings. You know, some people say, you're insecure, you're so insecure and you're this and that. You think about it, maybe everyone is insecure. Why? The fallen nature. Often, spirit. Cast out from the garden. Rejected. And so the root and the spirit of insecurity is probably in most of us. It's about measures. It's about how we overcome. It's about how we have grown, mature, to the place whereby we don't feel it as much. We would that we would be totally be delivered from it. Nevertheless, there could be moments when we are not so sure about things. We could be fearful. You understand what I'm saying? We can be, no matter who you are, no matter what you've achieved, there could be areas that we could still be insecure about or fearful about. You know, there was a guy that was quite a rich man. I bought the church from him, the building, and he was afraid of flying. He feels very insecure when he's up in the air. But he's got plenty of money, you know. And other people would have many other things that they can be insecure about, just that they don't tell you, or the face don't show it, but inside them, they would have something. So when we look at each other like that, then we probably wouldn't be so judgmental against each other, and maybe a little bit a little bit in the realization that, well, some people are showing more than others. And this is maybe one of those guys, you know. And how is he going to be healed? we only have to let the Lord do it sometimes, because if you try to correct somebody, sometimes it's not so easy. So the issue of security is healed by love, and Jesus rendered to us agape. And the issue of security has to be healed by affirmation when the opportunity prevails. Okay, I said already said that not everything can be affirmed, especially when people are outright really doing something really nasty or something really stupid. How can you affirm stupidity? Okay? But here we go. The fourth thing is found in Matthew chapter 17. Not found in Matthew 3, Matthew 17. This is my love. With him I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Who was he telling? God was telling Matthew to Peter, James, and John. Listen to who? To Jesus. God is not only affirming Jesus. God is authorizing Jesus to speak and to be heard. He authorized him to be his mouthpiece. And this is authority. And I believe, you know, we all know that. We all know that. But you must know this too, that this authority is necessary because of what's going to happen next. After this was going to cast out a demon that had been tormenting a little boy. This same authority that Jesus would exhibit or expressed in Matthew chapter 4 was in the time of his testing, of 40 days of testing in the wilderness. If he hadn't had authority, the devil would not take heed to what Jesus had said. He would just keep coming at him on the same issue. Every time when Jesus spoke in response to an accusation or a temptation of the devil had to move on, because round one lost, round two lost, round three lost. Every time. Until finally he got lost. He disappeared. He ran away for a season. He disappeared for a season. That's authority. But you see, the issue of authority is not just only by what we proclaim, by what we profess. The issue of authority must have some substance to it. It must be under an environment. Last scripture, Matthew chapter 8, dealing with the issue of authority. I'm talking about environment. I'm talking about atmosphere. I'm talking about moving from information to formation. So what is it that will form a sense of authority in you? Well, Matthew chapter 8 is a story about a centurion. You're probably familiar with this. I'm going to read it in verse 8. Chapter 8, verse 8, Matthew. Well, before that, verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished, and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Wow. What is that about? What made Jesus commended him as one with great faith? And not even a Jew. This guy is a Roman soldier. A Gentile. Another episode when Jesus also commended somebody as one with great faith was the Syrophoenician woman who wanted Jesus to heal her daughter. And Jesus said, healing is the children's bread. Then the woman said, then let us just pick up the crumbs from the table. Jesus said, wow, what great faith. Well, it is definitely a demonstration of trust. But back to the Roman centurion here. What was it that was demonstrating great faith? He demonstrated great faith not by proclaiming that I am a man with authority. He did not say, I have authority. But he said, I am under authority. That's the atmosphere. That is the formation. Position yourself to form a picture of how you're going to move from here, how you're going to pray, how you're going to declare, how are you going to confess, how are you going to profess your words of faith as one in the environment of the presence of God, in the environment of the presence of the glory of the Lord, in the environment of the presence of the Holy Spirit when He is in us, but as one who is under authority. Because when you are under authority, you're in authority. When you're not under authority, you help yourself. Amen. Praise the Lord. So these four things, only the Father confers identity. The second thing, security comes because of love. And security needs affirmation. Third thing, the fourth thing, the atmosphere, the environment you create is a sense that you are under authority because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, the glory of the Lord is above you. And Jesus had this idea that above him was an open heaven. Remember? That's what the Bible said. Above him was an open heaven. Hallelujah. By having that and the sense that the Holy Spirit is upon him, he moved and faced the devil and defeated him round after round until finally totally defeated him on the cross at Calvary at the resurrection and ascension. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've finished. I think we should pray, eh? We should pray and ask the Lord to somehow bring the information into some stage of formation in us. Lord, what is it that is going to be formed in me? There's so many parts to it. But the first part is, I'm talking about having the Word of God operating in some environment. Father, let me, from now on, have a sense of your presence. Have a sense of the fact that, Holy Spirit, you are actually involved in my life. You really are. Father, form a measure of faith in me. That when I would bring an awareness or be conscious of your presence, the Word of God brings into greater effect. And secondly, Father, I just pray that, Lord, you just affirm us in our sonship, our daughterhood, and let us, Father, be secured in your love, because it's by covenant. And Jesus, you're our covenant big brother. You're the covenant head. And Lord, lead me into a place whereby I know that my security, affirmed by you, will help me to stand in the face of the adversity, any adversity, and be able to pray with authority. So, Father, I just pray that, Lord, you will give us clarity this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.